Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
Hey, we are back here on Thursday Night Tailgate, and now we are joined by Vanderbilt defensive coordinator Jason Tarver. Let me remind you about Jason's background. Played his college ball both at Santa Clara University and West Valley College. After graduating from Santa Clara with a biochemistry degree, he became a graduate assistant at UCLA. He went on to coach the running backs and outside linebackers with the San Francisco 49ers for six seasons. He then became the defensive coordinator and linebackers coach at Stanford. In 2012, he became the defensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders. He then went back to San Francisco as a senior defensive assistant from 2015 to 2017, and he is now the defensive coordinator, like I say, at Vanderbilt. And we are thrilled he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jason, Chris, and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys. It's good to hear your voices.
You too.
Jason, first of all, congratulations on becoming a member of Derek Mason's staff there at Vandy. What's it been like over the last couple of months since you took on the role?
Well, we got here right at the beginning of February, and we have an early spring practice. We're actually right in the middle of our spring practice, right middle of week two. And so we've been getting everything in, and it's exciting, and there's busy stuff, and we're getting started, and the start has been very good.
And Jason, you're taking over a team that allowed averaging 31 points a game last season. What's your initial assessment? Where do you got to focus? Where are the gaps that need immediate attention?
Well, the biggest thing is forming. It's figuring out. We got some great people here. They're incredibly intelligent student athletes, and they love the game of football. And you got to be that way to compete in the SEC. So the first thing for our young men is getting them to understand that everybody's an individual. It's about the people. And then the second thing is building identity. Who do we want to be defensively? And what are we going to focus on? And that's what we're focusing on in practice right now. We got to attack the ball. You got to get the football. Not too big on stats, but the number one thing in football is getting the football back for our offense. The way we play on offense here with Coach Ludwig, we control the ball. So biggest thing defensively, we've got to get the ball back as many times as possible, as fast as possible.
And Jason, speaking of great people, Vandy linebacker Charles Wright seems like a very special young man. He led the team in sacks last season with 7.5, grew up kind of going from foster home to foster home until he was adopted. So he had a very challenging childhood, but seems very thankful for his adoptive family, and it's just a wonderful story to read about. I'm just curious, have you had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Charles?
Yeah, Charles, I'm the defensive coordinator and the outside linebacker coach, so Charles and I have got to spend a good amount of time together, both getting to know each other as, you know, as a coach-player relationship, but also as a young man. He's amazing. He was even going to work with some kids this week. He's fitting that in his busy schedule, which of course at Vanderbilt, you know, we got some tough classes. He does great. He helps kids every week, even now as he's busy. He's attacking his rehab right now. It's exciting. I'm excited to see what he can do. He's a great young man. He loves football too, and he is energetic. Every day he comes in, we're working on something to get better.
Bob, questions for Jason?
Great to speak with you again, Jason. And, you know, Vanderbilt, we always hear, we know it's a famous place. We know it's a big place. But I'd like to get more information, Jason, about the campus itself, just for outsiders that don't know as much about it. I know it's a beautiful place, but tell our listeners more about the place itself and how it attracts the student athletes.
Well, what's really unique is you have the best of both worlds. You know, you have, there's a lot of dispute on what the best conference is in college athletics, but the Southeastern Conference and everything that they do, they're pretty darn good at it. So you're playing at the highest level of college athletics. You are right in the middle of downtown Nashville, which is, you know, I was fortunate. I got to spend 43 years of my life coaching at almost every level, playing at almost every level. in California, where I was from, the Bay Area. And if you're going to move anywhere from California, Nashville's an amazing city. You got food, you got music, you got every kind of food, music. There's a bunch of different little neighborhoods. It's an amazing place. And we are right in the middle of it. So it's not a huge campus, but what's great is it's compact and it's really nice. So you can get through it, and the young men can get to their classes. Our student athletes can get to their classes quickly, get over and see us quickly. You know, obviously, Derek's been recruiting me for a few years, Coach Mason, and he was able to get me and my young family this time. We're excited about it. So this is a really great city. It's growing. It's full of energy. And on this campus, you know, with this education level, these student athletes, they can do anything when they're done out of here.
I was going to follow up with that, Jason. I mean, there's guys like yourself out of Santa Clara. You spent time at UCLA and Stanford. You've been around academic institutions basically your whole life. And so it must be more easier for you to sell this place or sell the idea of a student athlete, because as you know, at some places, it's not about academics at all, Jason. You're looking for the complete guy when they get out of Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and you know what's exciting about these young men? I'll speak specifically to the football players, but to any of our student athletes. They really have the ability to do anything, and they have the ability to change the world when they're done in positive ways. It's a lot of fun. They bring a lot of energy and have a lot of questions every day, every time we see them. It's been great. You know, a lot like the established professional football player that has grown and really learned. You know, and it's become a complete pro. These young men and women for the other sports, they come in bright-eyed and ready to go every day with great questions. They're a lot of fun to be around. Now, directing that brain energy, right, when you're smart, sometimes doubt comes into your brain. Well, in this game of football now, you want to be smart, but during the 4 seconds or however long that play lasts, you got to trust your training and go. You can't be analyzing during the play. So that's one of the challenge with some of our student athletes is, hey, look, the play might have started bad, but what do you do in life? You turn bad into good. You turn good into great. You know, to focus that brain energy and apply it to the sports world, that's a big-time challenge, and that's an exciting challenge for us.
And, Jason, as a guy who has coached at the college level before and, you know, in the NFL for several years, what are the challenges? What's involved with coaching both sets of players? Is it more challenging to coach the young mind and the, you know, more inexperienced player at the college level, or is it more difficult to coach at the NFL level?
Well, it's this way. At the college level, you know, you're 17, 18, and you leave 21, 22. So you're really maturing, both on and off the field as a person. And a lot of times, the young men, their bodies aren't even built yet. You don't know how big they're going to get. They're dealing with being away from the home for the first time, you know, in most cases. And so you get, it's unique because you can help them and watch them grow in many ways. In the NFL, they're a little more grown with their bodies, but they still need the technique. So the actual building of a football team is very similar on the field and with the technique. But the age that you're dealing with is different. And different's not bad. It's just different, to quote a friend of mine, Jim Tomsula, but he's right. You know, it's just different in that there's different things. There's separate issues that come up. There's certain things, you know, in the NFL that pop up because of dealing with life, money, kids, whatever, where in college you might be dealing with class, you know, your roommate, whatever it is. But the overall coaching on the field is very, very similar.
And Jason, I want to dip back into your time when you were the defensive coordinator with the Raiders. Charles Woodson was one of your free safeties when you were there. What was it like having him as a member of your secondary?
Oh, Charles, can't say enough about him. Obviously, you know, one of the best players of all time. We were talking about teaching our guys to attack the ball. Charles knew where the ball was and attacked the ball as good as anybody's ever seen. He was great for us. We had a lot of changing personnel when we were there besides him, really, for my last 2 years there. And he did a great job with everybody in the organization, and you help set them up for future success. He is very, very smart, very, very focused, and just amazing guy to be around.
And Jason, when you were with the 49ers, head coach there was Steve Mariucci, and you know, looking at some of the video clips and the mic'd up, you know, audio from when he was the head coach there was hilarious. What was it like being a member of his staff?
Oh, it was great. You know, Coach Mariucci, the Niners had one job open, and they interviewed two of us. One of us was a name you'll know well now, and he was the defensive coordinator of Hofstra at that time, and his name's Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Falcons. And then there was a graduate assistant from UCLA that people had recommended to see. So we both interviewed for the same job. Well, they ended up creating a job for me, which was cool, and Dan and I were roommates. So I got to thank Steve for everything because he took a shot at a 23-year-old young man who loved teaching and loved chemistry and all those things, but really loved football and wanted to do it at the highest level. So I got to thank him because he's the one that started everything for me. But he was funny. His stories even then, he still talks with his hands, of course. And he's funny as heck. So he'd come in and tell stories about everything a lot like he does now. He taught me a ton of how to speak, how to talk with the media, how to get guys at the NFL. The NFL is a marathon now. Those are long seasons. How to help players through that when there's little lulls. He was awesome.
And Jason, Toy Cook is one of our all-time favorite guests. He's actually in our guest Hall of Fame, and he was with us last week. And you had Toy in San Francisco in 94 and 95. Curious to get your memories of coaching Toy Cook.
Well, Toy was a little bit before me, but I grew up watching him, you know, because I was right there, I was playing in college. So I actually mimic some of the ways that I play about him. That is a very smart, funny guy. I mean, I can see why he's on the Hall of Fame. Because he's a neat guy. So our personal interactions aren't very much because he was a little bit before me. But I can say that I watched him a lot as a young player and as an aspiring football player.
Bob Moore for Jason.
Hey, Jason, you mentioned about being around some great coaches. You mentioned some guys that are their names are synonymous with offense. But being a defensive coordinator now like you are a linebackers coach, you've been around guys like Mike Singletary and I'm sure a lot of other great defensive minds. I don't want to put you on the spot, but who are some of the guys that probably had the biggest impact on you as far as teaching defense?
Okay, well, when I was with the Niners, I was on offense for 4 years under Coach Mariucci and then Coach Erickson. And those were amazing because I got to learn protections and the West Coast offense that you hear about. It was so good, and Coach Walsh was in the building. That was great. When Mike Nolan came into the building as the head coach, he first was going to leave me on offense and then said, I would like you to be the outside linebackers coach, and I'll help you learn this Baltimore scheme that we got. And then, of course, Mike Singletary came in at the same time, and I said, wow, that's an opportunity. I'm going to coach the outside linebackers. Mike Singletary is going to coach with me on the inside linebackers, and Coach Nolan's going to teach me that scheme that's prevalent at all levels of football now, because people have taken that scheme and moved it all over, moved it around. It's very good. So Coach Nolan and Coach Singletary are a big influence. And then Billy Davis and Greg Minuski were the defensive coordinators at the time. And Greg Minuski's been with Wade Phillips. And Billy Davis has been with all the other forms of the 3-4 in the league. So from those two men, plus those guys, I feel like I got a great core on every form of the 3-4 defense, you know, for the last however many years in football. That was great. And then when I got to go to the Raiders, then Dennis Allen picked me, and he's got a slightly different background, but we get along the same. So that was another core and things to draw from. And you got me going, so there's more. So then my last 3 years at the 49ers, we had three different head coaches and three different defensive schemes, with the last one being Robert Saleh. And that's the scheme that came out of first Monty Kiffin, but then Pete Carroll, and came out of Seattle, and Dan Quinn, and you see it prevalent in the NFL. So then I got exposed to that system, which is an awesome system too. So I just feel fortunate as heck of who I've been around. All those coaches have been great for me, and there's very few systems that I haven't been exposed to, and So therefore, we got some pieces to pick from to help our young men.
Jason, before we let you go, a couple more for you. One of the things I wanted to get your thoughts on are, you know, who are some of the guys that you've worked with over the years that you look back and you go, boy, I'm so proud of the development that this guy had.
Oh, there's a lot now. There's a lot. When I first got turned, I got lucky enough first when I first went to 49ers to be in a running backs room with Garrison Hurst, Fred Beasley, Terry Jackson. Man, those guys are professionals. Garrison Hurst is one of the toughest individuals mentally and physically I have ever met. And yes, I know I don't. I'm talking about somebody from Georgia right now at Vanderbilt, but I love that guy, man. He taught me about what it's like to be a pro. In that building at the 49ers at the same time, Jeff Garcia, Terrell Owens, I mean, you go down the list. Amazing. Defensive guys, Andre Carter, he's now the assistant D-line coach for the Dolphins. I had the pleasure to coach him twice at the 49ers and then also at the Raiders, and then I got to work with him 2 years ago, helping to start his career as a coach. Amazing man, technician, tough as nails. He's awesome. Paris Harrelson was an outside linebacker with us at the Niners. He was a defensive end at Tennessee coming into the league, and we had to figure out me how to coach the outside linebackers and him how to play it. And me and Paris and Manny Lawson, and there's many, many more. I don't want to leave anybody out. They'll let me know if I forgot them. But it was us against the world figuring football out together, and that was amazing. I had the pleasure to coach DeMond Brooks for a long time, two different stints at the 49ers. What an amazing athlete. He did well at Green Bay last year, and I'm rooting for him in the future. That's just a few. So everybody else that I left out, I'm sorry. All right? call me and let's talk.
And Jason, you're looking at a season, you know, next year, right, or this coming season, right? You're in the SEC, right? You're looking at, you know, the national champion in Alabama, the team that wins it, you know, four of the last 7 years. Georgia, who was in the title game. Auburn, who was number one for a number of weeks, you know, last season. All of these teams you're going to have to overcome, and that's just to name three of them, right? We know the SEC is one of the toughest conferences there is in college football. How do you prepare your guys mentally, you know, looking up at, you know, these teams that you're going to end up having to play next season?
Well, number one, we talked about the NFL schedule being a marathon. The college football season is a sprint. It's 11 or 12 games in 12 or 13 weeks. And so you got to get your mind right to go 1 week at a time quickly. So one thing is we got to be prepared that all that's going to happen fast. And we got to be able to move on, handle success, and turn bad into good, like I said, if it is. So that's number one. Number two is it's completely about us. Everything we do is about us. We got to get better in every one of our techniques, whether it's tackling, attacking the ball. I know I say that a lot, but that's what we got to get. Working together and learning how to. One of the things with the young men that when you get to the college level, high school level, you can kind of run around people if you're bigger, better, badder than them. When you get to college, you're starting to play men. You're starting to play people that have trained and lifted weights for a really long time. And when you get to the NFL, it's even more impacted that way. But we got to learn how to finish downs unblocked. What I mean by that is being able to shed blocks no matter what's happening to us and learning how that feels, because on defense, the ultimate goal is tackle the guy with the ball, and you can't do that when you're stuck to people. And you know what? The guys you're playing against in this league, they're pretty good at that. So we've already improved at that for 2 weeks of the spring, but we got a ways to go. So that's what we're doing. We're focusing on ourselves because you know what? That's what we can control.
Bob, one more for Jason before we let him go.
Sure, Jason. I mean, we mentioned recruiting a little bit. I was just wondering, out of your schedule, how much do you allot to recruitment, and do you travel a lot yourself? Tell us about your role in it.
Well, the recruiting travel schedule is only certain parts of the year. So mm-hmm. In the spring, it's 2 weeks in April and the month of May. So those are the weeks when a football coach can go out. It's different for all the different NCAA sports, but that's for football. And then in the fall, you can also visit. What's happened with the signing date moved up to December is student athletes are taking their trips earlier. So we actually, for this weekend, we have some people taking non-official visits, which means they come on their own. So it's kind of moved the recruiting schedule to year-round, if that makes sense, okay?
Yeah.
So now, how much are we putting in it? It's every day. You know, we need to get to know these young men, and they need to get to know us. So we're working with different ways to contact them, you know, all kinds of social media and things. And, of course, there's different NCAA rules on all the different things and the time of year you can do it. So we're well-versed in those rules. But it's constant. It's ongoing. And for us, we talked about it a little bit because you asked about the city. We had this great mix of academics and athletics. So, you know, if that's what a type of student athlete is looking for, we play in, like we said, one of the best conferences, and we got this great academic campus in one of the best growing cities in the country. It's a pretty cool place. And there's certain student athletes that really want to be a part of that. And that's who we want to see. That's who we want to recruit.
Jason, how can our listeners stay up to date with all the great things you guys are doing there and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, we have, you know, our Vanderbilt website. Hit that thing up. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter feed's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. So you can check that out, see how we're doing. But that's probably the best way. And check out our other sports. We got our baseball is cool. I got to go see one of those. Our basketball is our old arena is awesome. One of the most unique places. You know, we got some unique sports. We got some unique things going on.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for being generous with your time tonight and coming back and joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate. You're a great guest. We hope you'll come back and share more of your stories and your insights with us, you know, before the season gets rolling next year, because it's been, a huge thrill having you as part of the show tonight.
Thanks, man. I'll come back on. I'll see if I can make that Hall of Fame, you know. I can
there you go.
Funny stories. I got a few more. We'll see if we can strive for that.
That's great.
That is great. Thank you, Jason. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching back up with you again soon.
Good luck, Jason.
Okay, take care, guys. Always enjoy it.
All right, see you, Jason.
Take care.
That is Vanderbilt defensive coordinator Jason Tarver. And, Bob, you know, you look back at the things that Jason is doing there, right? And we talked about this at the top of the show. At a school that is just as interested in their graduation rate as they are at wins and losses. But you bring in a guy like Jason, you know, you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice, which is fantastic, by the way. And then you're going to, you know, marry him up with the coaching staff that they have there, the background that he has, not only, you know, at Stanford and with the 49ers and with the Raiders. Now you bring in his expertise to lead a defense that needs a guy like Jason Tarver. Boy, it's, you know, if I'm a Vandy fan, I'm very excited about the things that we're going to not only do this coming season, but over the next several seasons, having a guy like Jason as my new defensive coordinator.
It's a great point, Chris. He brings such a great resume from different levels. Now back at the college level, he's learning and he's taking things from everyone he comes across. And yeah, they're very lucky to have him, and he's still a very young man in his early 40s. And this guy, man, he's got the pedigree and the experience will make him a very, very good head coach one day.